Good morning. Well, this is August 18th, 2024. Next week will be the last chapter in this book. This week, the chapter is chapter 16, Is. This entire book, I am coming to see, is something different than I ever thought it was before. I thought this was a book on spiritual healing. It turns out, although it's called The Art of Spiritual Healing, the book is really about making a transition in consciousness from a material sense life to the infinite invisible living life right where I am. And this chapter is no different. It's going to take that theme and run with it. And so are we. But first, settle down. Get as quiet as you can. Center within yourself until you feel that inner tingling, which lets you know you are communing with God consciousness. Then that consciousness will reveal to you what you need to hear. And it may be entirely different than what I need to hear or what Mary Jones needs to hear. Okay. He begins with, "The basis of all spiritual teaching is that spiritual consciousness evolves in what is called time. The element of time is involved because spiritual evolution is the unfolding of consciousness, which to our sense appears as time. There is a definite moment in time and space when each one of us makes the transition from law to grace. And if you haven't thought of it before, think of it now. Your material sense of existence is under the law. Your spiritual sense of existence is under grace. The Hindus liken this process of spiritual evolution to the peeling away of the skins of an onion. The peeling away of one layer of skin is barely perceptible. But by the time 10 or 15 layers have been removed, a definite change is noticeable. As the skins are removed, layer by layer, eventually a place is reached where there are no more onion skins. There is only nothingness. The onion is no more. So, nothingness becomes, well, it's really everything. Nothing. When you become nothing, you are everything. Human beings are born into this world, bringing with them numbers of layers of material sense. to which they continually add, building up the onion self skin by skin, until they begin the return journey to the Father's house. Now, I had a dream 50-some-odd years ago, and I took it to my first spiritual teacher, Don, and I described the dream to him. And the dream was, I was in a playground, and I was climbing up the chain or the rope that was holding a swing. Instead of swinging on the swing, I was climbing up. And I got to the top and I woke up. And so I told him about this dream. He was good at interpreting the dreams. And he said, "Oh, that's the karmic pendulum. And on this path, we climb up that pendulum. And when we get to the top, karma has ceased, or the law has ceased." He said, "The thing that we have to do is make sure we don't kick it back into motion, swinging between the opposites." And I'm here to say, I didn't heed that advice. I went on in this lifetime, particularly in the early years, adding skin after skin to the onion, to a material sense of existence. However, we, all of us, can begin now by following these principles in this chapter today and from now on. We can begin to peel away the onion skins. When that spiritual impulse within is felt, then we begin to study and meditate, always with the goal that one day we may actually feel God within us, realize the presence, be touched by Him, and come to live under grace in that state of consciousness in which there is no longer any law. Now, that's important, because if there's no longer any law, then the law of physics, which says that two objects can't occupy the same space, is no longer a law. You can pass right through a wall. The law of medicine, which says that a disease has to run its course, is no longer a law. You can look at a disease, walk right up to it. You can touch a leper and not succumb to a disease, to a law. The law that says when a person has passed, you can no longer see them, is no longer a law. You can see those that have passed, or those that are yet to be born. And so when he says we live in a state of consciousness in which there is no longer any law, that's a pretty profound statement. At a certain moment in our experience, it happens. Such an experience takes place in time. It may happen at 10 o'clock in the morning, at midnight, or in the silence of the early morning hours. But at some time or other, it does take place. And we feel that inner impulsion and know that we have felt it. Then we relax, or more accurately, it relaxes us. It relaxes us to such an extent that we never again feel a responsibility for our own life. What a freedom that is. If you feel responsible for your own life, if I feel responsible for my own life, I'm going to be thinking, well, where am I going to get the money to do that? How am I going to get over this? When will I ever find my soulmate? Different things that we feel responsible for. All of that leaves. When it really happens, we no longer care whether we live our life on this side of the grave or on the other. Actually, it could make no difference because life is eternal, immortal. Neither do we concern ourselves with whether we have a certain amount of dollars left over at the end of the day with which to begin tomorrow. Because every moment of every day is lived under grace. Every moment is provided for by the grace of that moment. What a life, huh? It's heaven on earth. Only a very, very mortal, material state of consciousness lives much in the past, either in the glories of the past or its sins or diseases. Now, you know what that's like when you go back and say, gosh, I've had this illness for 5 years. I remember when it started. If you have a seat here, I'll tell you all about it. Or, gosh, I remember when I was first in the school, first in mathematics. All this is living in the past. Dwelling in the past, immersing or dousing oneself in either its glories or miseries, merely indicates a great, great distance in consciousness from that spiritual estate which lives by grace. Spiritual being has no future. Spiritual being means living this moment, relaxing in it, rejoicing in it, sharing whatever there is of this moment. If we understood that life is God's demonstration, wow. 8 words. 8 words, if you contemplate, will change your life forever. If we understood that life is God's demonstration, not ours, we would not be concerned whether we were cold or warm, hungry or fed. Is not God capable of maintaining himself as his own image and likeness? This life is not your personal life. You only thought it was. You've been living it as if it was. It's not yours. Peel away those onion skins and behold, I come quickly. And you witness, you bear witness that God is demonstrating God right where you thought you were. This life is God's demonstration. Please take that and contemplate that. Live with that principle. Live with it. Begin to live in the now. This living in the now does not shut our eyes to the fact that tomorrow will also be now, but rather makes us realize that that which is a seed at this moment will in its nowness be a bud, and when it is a bud, it will in its nowness become a full-blown flower. That is living in the now. This is God's universe, the universe of spirit. And if we do not live in the universe of spirit, but insist rather on tabernacling in this world, then we withdraw ourselves from my kingdom. We withdraw ourselves from the kingdom of God. When we are living in time, the past or the future, we remove ourselves from the kingdom of heaven. Now, we've said this over and over and over again. You're standing in the kingdom, but you're beholding this world. And so, going to heaven does not mean you go someplace. It doesn't mean going up into the sky by and by. It doesn't mean after you leave your body behind, this material sense of body, that you are going to a spiritual kingdom somewhere. It means you awaken to the kingdom you're standing in right now. Right now. You stand in the kingdom created by your Father. I go to prepare a place for you. And you're standing in that place. And as you peel away the onion skins of a material sense of self, it's like getting up at dawn, and slowly everything lightens. It lightens and lightens until the full day is upon you. So do you awaken to the kingdom in which you have your being. In the kingdom we live and move and have our being. The kingdom of heaven is a state of grace which can only be experienced now. To go back to an hour ago in memory, or to concern ourselves with tomorrow, is deliberately to remove ourselves from the kingdom of heaven. But to live in the realization that this second God is expressing itself, God is fulfilling its own destiny, is to live in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And there's another one. God is fulfilling its own destiny now, here. I am not living a material sense of life. I surrender that. I renounce that. God is fulfilling its own destiny. I think it's the Hindus that say, renounce the world and receive it back as the gift of God. At some specific moment in time, a change of consciousness takes place within us, when this becomes a living truth. Not one heard with the ears, not one read with the eyes, but a living, demonstrable truth in which we become stabilized and from which we never move. So taking one of these statements or both of them and dwelling with it, living with it, day in, day out, is worth it. Because if we understood that life is God's demonstration, not ours, if we understood that God is fulfilling its own destiny, we would witness a living, demonstrable truth in which we become stabilized and from which we never move. That transition into a consciousness of nowness is a state of grace in which we relax and realize that henceforth we do not live by physical might or mental powers, but that we live by divine grace, and that not of ourselves, but of God. The way is straight and narrow because it can only exist in the now. The minute we deviate into the past or future, we have lost the way. It is so straight and narrow that it can only be lived now. Now, the eternal now. Whether the body is in pain, or whether the pocketbook is empty, or even whether the state of morals is not too admirable, has nothing to do with it. Nothing. Those conditions are merely the effects of world hypnotism, still operating in consciousness, and they will be dispelled when this moment of transition takes place. When we come into the infinite way, the way of life, the way which I am. I am the way. Lao Tzu speaks of the way. Buddha speaks of the way. Jesus Christ speaks of the way. What is this way? All three answer, I am. In other words, now I am. Not I was, not I will be, not I shall be, not I ought to be, or I deserve to be. The way is. I am. Is. I am. And so it is that in the beginning of our spiritual healing work, we would be very much discouraged if we were expected to achieve 100% success. Despite the fact that we are not outwardly manifesting that degree of success and demonstration, we do know the goal. The goal is not the attainment of an improved humanhood. The goal is the attainment of that mind which was in Christ Jesus. The goal is the attainment of my kingdom, which is not of this world. That is the goal. And the principle? I am. And so working with the principle I am, or is, you arrive at the attainment of the kingdom. the way is I am. I am the way. I am now the way. Is, the grace of God is. That is the straight and narrow truth which we must hug to us until in a moment that we know not of, in a moment we think not, the bridegroom comes and the spiritual realization dawns. Until that moment, we have to cling to the way. And the way is I am. The way is. And so if you can feel that inner I, as you say, or work with that principle, I am, then that's for you. If you can feel the is in God is, then that's for you. The principle is the same, the words are different. Something at the center of your being is. Something at the center of your being am. I am. Because the way is so straight and narrow, all this is difficult. We have to give up yesterday, and we have to give up tomorrow. True, it is difficult, but no purpose is served in saying it is difficult. No purpose is served in complaining, but it is so hard. What difference does it make how hard it is? Everybody has had difficulties. Each one has to follow the way as it is given to him. Each one has to walk this way alone. It is not an easy way. Nobody ever said that it was easy. And least of all would I ever claim that it is easy. Now that's Joel talking. I know what it means to pass from the mental or intellectual perception of a truth to the spiritual discernment of it. And that's the whole secret right there. That's what we're doing. We're working with these principles until we pass from the intellectual understanding of a truth to the spiritual discernment of it, and then it's demonstrated. I know what it means to pass from the mental or intellectual perception of a truth to the spiritual discernment of it. I know what it means to think, yes, you keep telling me these marvelous truths, but nothing is happening in my life. I know what that means. I have gone through it. I remember hearing these very same truths and thinking, I don't see any truth in it at all. What is it doing in my life or for my neighbors? Nothing. This is not an easy way. But when a person comes to this work with the completely open mind, he can receive its light. And as many as received him, to them gives he power to become the Son of God. The person seeking the full light must realize and recognize that in this split second of time there is only now, the now in which I am. As the spiritual sense is realized, we do not overcome jealousy or envy or sensuality. Rather, do we come into the kingdom of heaven where none of these things exist, and there is no personal sense to be catered to receive anything, to need anything, or to want anything. So we do not overcome these problems. We come into a kingdom where they don't exist. And that's a principle too, if you will look at it, if you feel that. I cannot overcome this problem, but I can realize a kingdom in which it doesn't exist, and then I can rest in that and relax in that and float on a sea of spirit. In that attainment, which takes place in a split second of transition, God is revealed as fulfillment. Yes, I am fulfillment. There is a center within us which unfolds spiritually, and as it unfolds, it provides for our daily needs. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that wonderful? And it's really true. It's really true. As the onion skins fall away, as the room, your consciousness becomes lighter and lighter, and you begin to perceive these principles at work, you are dwelling in the kingdom, in the consciousness, in the secret place of the Most High. No one will ever see inside your consciousness except for you. And I suppose if Jesus Christ were standing there before you, he could see inside your consciousness. Anyway, any master could, I guess, because the master is one with your consciousness. Now, take these principles we're discussing today, take them seriously. Take them into your inner temple. Live with them. Practice them. Remind yourself, oh gosh, it's 11:01 and I've forgotten that principle. Well, okay, I can start now. God is. I am. All that the Father has is mine. I rest in you. Well, then somebody says, hey, would you get the phone? I'm doing the dishes. And so you get up and you grab the phone and you talk to the person and you hang up, and then you remember to go get the mail, and you go get the mail, and you come back in and, oh, wait, it's 12:05. I've forgotten again. It's all right. Sit down. I am. All that God is, I am. God is fulfilling its destiny. God is demonstrating itself. Right here, right now, in this moment, God is living its life. And I rest. I will relax. I will bear witness to it. And so like that, you practice. You practice, you practice, you practice. You hug this. You cling to it. You make it bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. And one moment, could be tonight, could be late, could be in the middle of the night tonight, could be tomorrow morning, early, very early, before the sun has come up. It could be 5 minutes from now. at a moment ye think not, when you least expect it, it happens. There's just a little inner twitch, a little inner click, an inner movement. Oh, grace lives my life. Why am I struggling so hard? Grace. Grace liveth. I don't have to provide for myself. I don't have to figure these things out. I can rely on grace to live my life. Well, I can rely on grace to live its life, and then my life becomes its life. And I bear witness, I am. God is living. And it becomes a permanent state of consciousness from which we never move. Do you believe that? Is it worth it to you to sell all that thou hast, the past and the future? Is it worth it to you to die daily so that you can be reborn in this new consciousness? Well, then join me and get to work. As this spiritual sense is realized, we do not overcome. We come into a kingdom where none of these things exist. And that attainment, which takes place in a split second of transition, God is revealed. Healing, dollars, bread and butter, meat, housing, transportation, whatever its nature, it is not necessary to take thought about its attainment or unfoldment. It will appear automatically as it is needed. I've seen the demonstration of this a lot when I've traveled someplace that's an hour and 15 minutes away, and I get there and I drive into the parking lot, and there's one parking space because the person's pulling out as I pull up, and it's right next to the front door. And I've seen it demonstrated, as I've told you, when something financial has come up that I didn't know about, and suddenly there's a check in the mail which meets that need. This spirit within us will always appear in visible expression the moment it is needed. And it will appear as the form necessary at that moment. Sometimes it just wows me. I just can hardly believe what goes into this. Because I can see omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence all at work. Somebody moved up here from Arkansas 2 years ago. I never knew them, never met them, never laid eyes on them. And at exactly the right moment, when something is needed, this person comes into my life and offers me exactly what I needed. The planning that goes into this is just awesome. You can't believe it sometimes. The two people would come together at exactly the right moment. I love it. I love living this way. Okay. Whatever form is necessary, and irrespective of how physical or material it may seem to our sense, it will be there. It will be there in proportion as we relinquish the word I, the personal sense of I. I am not responsible for my daily bread. I am. God is. The Spirit of God is. The Spirit is. Did you know you're not responsible here? You thought you had to go out to work and provide for your needs. I see it in the news all the time now. The government's going to fix it so I can provide for my needs. Well, if they do that, who will need God? Well, I don't see it that way. Yes, I need to add to this universe. I need to work. I need to pour out. But I don't need to provide for my needs. I should pour out because I love what I'm doing. If I don't love what I'm doing, I need to change what I'm doing. When I pour out of love, which is how these talks are made, because I love this and I love you, then it's no longer my business. It's God's business to provide for my needs, including my financial needs. I remember Joel saying, love will pay my bills. And I took that, and I contemplated that, and I looked at it, and looked at it, and looked at it. Love will pay my bills. Wow. Can't you just hear a normal person that hasn't walked this path saying, oh, phooey, what nonsense. Love will pay my bills. Yeah. In fact, I had a guy. I told him in a group of people, I said that God had gotten me a job. And he slammed his fist on the table. God's never gotten me a job. That's because you never let him. Anyway, you have to be careful where you say these things. That's called casting your pearls, and I don't advise it. All already exist at the standpoint of fulfillment. And so, there are no desires. There is no future. There is only this second, lived 24 hours a day, in which nothing can be added to us and nothing can be taken from us. That is a high point of spiritual unfoldment. Nothing can be added to you. Nothing can be taken from you. Because why? Because I am. Because is is. Then there is no desire because there is already fulfillment. And in fulfillment, what is left to be desired? What can we hope to get? What can be withheld from us? Nothing. And so that is the chapter called Is. And I hope you take it seriously. Take it seriously. Serious enough to practice, to want to demonstrate the principle of I am. Now, it's not enough to walk around and say to yourself 300 times a day, I am, I am, I am. Then it becomes just two words. that you are having vain repetitions with. And the result will be maybe you'll hypnotize yourself into becoming still or peaceful, but you won't be receptive to the still small voice. On the other hand, if you remind yourself, I am, and is, if you contemplate it, if you hug it to you, cling to it, not in vain repetitions, but trying to feel that when you say it, I am, is, God is, I am. And when you feel it, then rest back into it. You're not resting in the words, you're resting in the conscious awareness of that living I am. Then you reach a state of quiet, a state of resting, a state of peace, a peace which passes understanding, and understanding stops, and you await the Lord, you await the movement, you await I, Christ. Father, reveal thyself. Reveal the I in I am. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I am, thou art. Come unto me. Come unto me, and I shall give you the eternal moment of now. Behold, I am makes all things new. Let God demonstrate God. Let God fulfill God's destiny. Let God live. God demonstrates itself. He performeth that which is appointed for me to do. God demonstrates itself. He will perfect that which concerneth me. God demonstrates itself. Get out of the way and let him, let God live itself. Let go. Let God. If you have a copy of this book, I suggest you get a highlighter. Go back through the book and highlight those places, those principles that point to God demonstrating God. because that's the transition that we have to make. Inside ourselves, we have to make that transition where I'm not living my life. There is no person here. The onion skins are gone. And now nothing takes over. But nothing is everything. Nothing is God demonstrating God. Can you bear witness to an invisible presence and power living itself? Can you? Do you want to? Do you want to relinquish that much control? Do you want to renounce yesterday and tomorrow? Do you want to renounce the person that's been in the driver's seat oh so many years? When you're driving your car, do you want to renounce your judgment and let God live itself? Can you? Is that even possible? Have you ever been driving somewhere and you realize you've gone a mile or so and you don't remember making any of the decisions? That's God living itself. Who do you think was driving? It's like it's a blank. You don't remember passing. Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. That's right. You weren't there. Now, do the same thing with your life, your entire life. Be not there. Watch. Wait. Behold. Bear witness. Discern. See, it doesn't take belief. It takes discerning. No one's asking you to believe that God can live itself. We're asking you to surrender and see that it does. It does live itself. It does provide for your needs. It does give you love. It surrounds you with love. Because this something is love. And when you're riding in the middle of it, it is surrounding you with its love, with itself. Well, I guess we are about complete here with this chapter. Thank you again. I love you. Please take these principles seriously. Cling to them, hug them, practice them, live them until you see God living itself. Make the transition from a personal, material sense of existence to beholding the impersonal life living itself. A spiritual sense of existence. Okay. God bless you.